Well, as I mentioned earlier, at this time, or in just a few minutes, we're going to have the babies that have been born to parents this year, so the additions to our Emmanuel Nursery. In just a moment, we're going to have the parents go get their little ones and bring them out in front of us and present them to us this morning. This is something that in recent years we've begun to do annually, bringing our little ones before us and to be presented to us, if you will. As we participate in this ceremony, we will be quickly reminded that we are out of step with the vast majority of other churches in the West and throughout the world. We're out of step because we don't dedicate babies, nor do we baptize them. And that makes us a bit of an oddity, because most churches do one or the other. Most churches either dedicate their babies or they baptize them, and we do neither. And when your activities don't line up with the majority of others, that requires kind of an evaluation. What are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why aren't you doing what everyone else is doing? When you're not doing what everyone else is, it doesn't mean that you're right and they're wrong. It also doesn't mean that they're right and you're wrong. But it does mean you're strange. And so we are strange, and I need to give you an answer of why we're strange. Why do we not dedicate our babies? Why do we not baptize them? I'm going to give you a short answer to both of those questions, a real short answer, and then a little bit of a longer explanation, if you will. We don't dedicate babies because we want our little ones to grow up knowing that a great dedication has been performed on their behalf by someone else. God the Father has dedicated God the Son unto death on their behalf, so that by His grace, through trusting in Jesus, they might belong to God and be a part of His family. You following that? We don't dedicate babies because we recognize that a dedication has already been performed on their behalf by someone great, none other than God Himself, dedicating His Son on their behalf so that through faith in this Son, they might belong to God and be a part of His family. I'll explain in that in just a minute. Secondly, we don't baptize babies. We don't baptize babies because we baptize people who have made a credible profession of faith in Jesus Christ, the one who is dedicated by God on their behalf. We baptize believers. We baptize people who have been saved by God's grace through trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and their baptism is an identification of that person being in union with Jesus and in union with the body of Christ, those people who have identified with Jesus Christ as well. Babies don't make credible professions of faith in Jesus because they've yet to hear what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. They've yet to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so we want them to know Jesus and to believe God and to bring God pleasure by believing Him and to bring God pleasure by placing their faith in Jesus Christ, and we baptize those people. Okay, so that's the short answer. You following both of those? We don't dedicate babies, we don't baptize them either. Let's give a little longer explanation. As you read through your Bible, which I would encourage you to do, as you read through your Bible, you are made aware that throughout the Old Testament, as people were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Deliverer, the Promised One, various dedications were made. Various dedications were prescribed by the law. Some of them were obligatory. You had to do them. Others were voluntary. You could choose to do them. Back in the Old Testament, as you read through there, you come to understand that people dedicated possessions, they dedicated properties, and they dedicated even children unto God. And what was dedicated unto God became God's, literally. What was dedicated, as you read through the Old Testament dedications, what was dedicated unto God lost its life. It was sacrificed unto God. Or it was redeemed. For example, if someone said, I've got a 40-acre piece of property and I want to dedicate that unto God, well, then they would come out and they'd say, hey, you got a 40-acre piece of property? That's worth about $35,000. If you want your property back, you can buy it back. And he would redeem it, but the property was dedicated unto God. Or if you didn't buy it back, if you didn't redeem it, what became of that property? It became God's property. It became the possession of the temple. And so as you read through the Old Testament and you come to understand children were dedicated, the firstborns No options. The firstborn was always dedicated unto God. Wonder why that is. Maybe because God dedicated his firstborn unto... Oh, anyways, that's... You following the picture? You didn't have a choice. The firstborn were dedicated unto God. Children, and I just said, if things were dedicated unto God, it was either sacrificed or sacrificed for. Children were never sacrificed unto God. That was an abomination. So children would be dedicated unto God, and a sacrifice was made on its behalf, like the sacrifice of a lamb or a sheep, or children were dedicated unto God, and they were redeemed. There was actually values placed on them, and you bought it back. Or, in some cases, the child who was dedicated unto God literally became temple property, became God's possession. And probably our most familiar expression of that was Hannah. When Hannah said to God, God, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate my child unto God. I'll dedicate my child unto you. And God gave her a child. And when she weaned the child, what became of that child? It became God's property. It was given over to Eli the priest, and it was raised in the temple. What we come to understand that in the Old Testament, dedications were costly transactions. They were not empty vows. What was dedicated unto God was either sacrificed, or it was redeemed, or it literally became God's. When you turn to the pages of the New Testament, you discover that all those Old Testament dedications pointed to another one, one that God had made on our behalf, a once-for-all final dedication of the only Son of God for the world. This was a dedication that God made of himself on our behalf. We want everyone, everywhere, including our children, to know of that dedication. Now think this through. God sacrificed his Son as a substitutionary sacrifice on our behalf. God redeemed people unto himself through his blood shed on the cross. Those who trust in Jesus Christ become God's very own possession. Do you hear that? Sacrifice, redemption, possession. Everything the Old Testament dedications pointed to were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He was sacrificed on our behalf. With his blood, he redeemed people unto God, and through trusting in him, we become God's very children. We want everyone everywhere to know about that, including our children. We want them to trust in that and to rest in that and to rely on that and not on some transactionless dedication their parents made when they were infants and had no knowledge of it. That make sense to you? Parents who dedicate their children today in churches, we dedicate our children to God, and there's no transaction that takes place? That's an empty ritual. That's a meaningless vow. I dedicate my child unto God, but not really, because nothing really changed. That sets up a bad precedent for future actions. We don't, as a church, want to engage in meaningless activities, particularly meaningless spiritual activities. So therefore, we don't dedicate our children unto God because we acknowledge that God has made a dedication for us on our behalf, and it was none other than his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we might belong to God and be redeemed by God. That's huge. So that's why we don't dedicate children around here. Baptism. That's a whole longer argument. Let me stick with my short explanation. We baptize people who come to faith in Jesus Christ. They come to the knowledge of what God has done for them through Jesus Christ, and they place their faith in God's provision. We baptize people who have been saved by God's grace through faith, and their baptism is an identification of that person being in union with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, and in union with the body of Christ who also have identified with Jesus. We baptize believers. Children, babies, are not making credible professions of faith in Jesus Christ. We want them to know of the dedication that was made on their behalf, and when they come to faith in Jesus Christ, we gladly, wholeheartedly, with enthusiasm, baptize them to represent that identification with Jesus and with the body of Christ. Okay, so that's what we don't do. We better get turned around to what do we do? If we don't dedicate babies and we don't baptize babies, then why bring them up front? Why have the parents go out to the nursery during our next song and get their babies and bring them down front? Why do we do anything at all? Well, we think babies are cute. Babies are adorable. Who doesn't like a baby parade? Well, we're doing more than baby parades. We are now doing this every year. For a long time, we didn't do anything like this. But we're now doing this every year because it's important. Something's happening when we present our babies. What's happening? Let me give you three things. First of all, we believe that children are a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. God gives life. God gives children to families, whether adopted or born into families. God gives children to families. Thanksgiving is involved in this. If God gives them, we thank God for them. That's the appropriate thing to do. And so part of this is children are presented, and we thank God for the gift of children. Secondly, children are a joy to their parents. Parents delight in their children. So, presenting newborns is an opportunity for the corporate church, the corporate body, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to join in with them with thanking God for the gift of children, and to join in to their joy, and to rejoice with them in that goodness. As a church, we do funerals. Of course we do funerals. Because at funerals, we learn to mourn with those who mourn. So this is an annual time where we can join together and thank God for the gift of life and for the gift of children, and to rejoice with parents who are rejoicing in the grace that they've received. Third and finally, parents, Christian parents, recognize their responsibility of training up their children. They feel that every day. It's before them every hour. Christian parents recognize the responsibility of training up their children, raising them, teaching them to know God, to believe God, and by faith obey God. Christian parents intimately know this every hour, but corporately we can forget. As a church, we can forget our responsibility toward the children and toward the parents who are raising those children. The little children that we'll see in just a few minutes, they will receive a Christian education. They'll receive a Christian education in their homes. They'll receive a Christian education in this church. They will hear Bible stories. They'll receive biblical instruction at home and at here. But they will learn not only from what they hear, but more importantly, by what they see. And this church, this community, is where they will see the gospel lived out or not see it lived out. I've raised four children here. Believe me, in that sense, you are more important than I am. Because they expect the preacher to live out faith in Jesus Christ. Children being raised here are looking around to say, is this true? Is the gospel real? Is Jesus worth it all? We forget that. Parents recognize it every day because they're raising their children to believe God and to know God and to trust in Jesus Christ. This community, if they're being raised here, will see, these children will see, is faith in Jesus fleshed out here? Is faith in Jesus fleshed out in my home? Is faith in Jesus taking root in my peers who are being raised here? When I look around at other families, is Jesus meaningful? That's why we do baby presentations, folks. This isn't a baby dedication. This isn't a baby baptism. But it is a commitment on the part of the whole church to live for Christ for the sake of others. This goes beyond your little closet devotions where you have a little intimacy with Jesus Christ. We are gathering together to commit ourselves, once again, to live for Christ for the sake of others, namely the kids. Because I want to remind all of us this morning, little eyes are watching us. And as I said, you, in this regard, are more important than the preacher. Because children being raised here, they expect the preacher to live for Christ. He's compensated for that. Which is kind of a broken view, I understand, but they feel that way. They're looking at you. They're looking at you. Jesus real to them? Faith in Jesus significant in that family? They're watching you. So we do an annual baby presentation to remind us of our commitment to live for Christ for the sake of others. So our parents, with the little ones, and they know who they are, in just a moment, we're going to sing a song. They're going to go out and they're going to get their little babies out of the nursery and bring them here in front of us. And they will present their children for our sake. For our sake. So that we'll be reminded of our responsibility. They'll come and present their children not only for our sake, but for their sake as parents. These are my children that God has given me. I thank God for them. I rejoice in them, and I have a responsibility to train them up in the Lord. And they're part of us, raising them so they might see Christ. So this service is a thankful service, a joyful service, and a solemn service as parents present their children for our sake, for their sake, and for their children's sake. So we're going to have a song. That's enough explanation. If you want more on it, you can see me after the service. We're going to have another song, and as the musicians come to lead us in music, I want the parents to go get their babies out of the nursery if they're not in here with you already. And while we're singing, just come on down front, stand in front with your little one, and we'd like to introduce your little one, and we have a gift that we want to give you as part of the Christian education that you do for them at home. So let's, musicians come back, let's stand and sing together another Christmas carol, and we'll make this baby presentation this morning.